This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Remember him? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you. We thank you so much for joining us. It is Wednesday, May the 16th. No, make it May the 18th. Wow. May the 18th. And lots going on today, I'll tell you. We'll be talking in a few minutes with Mike Howell of the Heritage Foundation about the $40 billion Ukraine aid package being discussed by Congress. First of all, do we even have the money in stock to pay for that? And even if we do, does it make sense? We're going to talk with Mike Howell about that. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis hits back yesterday at his critics, asking why, if he's such a dictator and such a bad guy, why are people pouring into Florida? Well, we're going to get some thoughts on that as well as a few other things from the proprietor of the Barber Poll, the master barber, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. And when it comes to violent protests in America, which side is really more violent? Think about that for a second. We are going to take a look. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 rudest states in America. Yes, they figured out the rudest states. We're going to tell you who they are. So that'll be towards the end of the show. In the meantime, lots going on. Of course, if you've tuned in the news, you know that there are all of these primary races going on. This one between Dr. Oz and Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania is still too close to call. I think they got a lot of those precincts. It's always around Philadelphia. Remember when in this last presidential race in Pennsylvania, you know, an Eastern time zone state, we couldn't get any of the results from Philadelphia? Remember that? Why is it over there that takes them so long to count votes?
Yeah. Well, Philadelphia is making everybody forget about Florida with the Chad incident.
Yeah, I think you're right. It takes them so long. You start to suspect something's up, you know, and it takes so long to do the count. And boy, did it take a long time then. Seems to be that general area where it's taking a long time now. You wouldn't think there are that many people voting for Dr. Oz in Philadelphia. He's a Republican. You can maybe count on one hand the number of Republicans in the city of Philadelphia. So, but it's in that general area. Anyway, too close to call in Pennsylvania. Mehmet Oz and Dave McCormick virtually deadlocked. Oz is a cardiac surgeon. He's an author. And maybe most importantly right now, he's been backed by Donald Trump. He has a Turkish background. A lot of people are worried about that. And a lot of them say that he's converted recently to conservatism. He may not be as conservative deep down as he would like people to think. He's running for the Senate, of course. He was host of the Dr. Oz show. I never saw it. I don't even know what he talked about. Did you ever watch that show?
It was more... He got his start, I believe, with Dr. Phil appearing a couple times there, but it was mostly about health, you know, healthy things to eat and healthy things to do, and and stuff like that. It went out, and then it wound up going against Dr. Phil, and it just didn't do very well in the ratings.
Mm. So a lot of people, a lot of people know this guy.
It's been a while since he's done it, though.
Yeah.
I believe. It's probably been 10 years, maybe.
Oh, wow. Maybe he felt that everybody was going to forget him. And, well, I can't do a show anymore. Maybe I can run for an office. But somehow he got on the good side of Donald Trump. And I don't know what provoked Donald Trump to really support him. I don't know the background on that. But these two guys, Dave McCormick and Oz, virtually tied. There was the black woman, the conservative black woman, and I want to see if her name is here, who came in, who seems to be out of the running now, but had made a bit of a fight out of it, and now is, and she seems very, I would think she's going to be around for a while.
She's the one that said that if she were to lose, she would not endorse any of her...
Republican.
Any of her people that she's gone against, no.
She would not endorse any of them.
No.
Okay, that's interesting. That's very interesting. She seems to be a woman of...
sour grapes to me.
Sour grapes, possibly, yeah. too. No, what I was going to say is...
It's Barnett. Her name is Barnett.
That's it. Yeah. The Barnett lady.
And she only got 24%, by the way.
Well, Oz and McCormick only got 31.3%. So that's only 7% more, you know. But, you know, in a three-way race, that happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you got that. You got all these other races going on. Here's one of the things about that area in Pennsylvania. Mail-in ballots and absentee ballots. And we go back to this concern I have about mail-in ballots. It is so easy when there's so many hands handling these things.
Yeah.
To take a bunch of them and, you know, stash them in the closet or something. I just don't like it. I don't like too many hands on my ballot.
The difference is Florida counts the ballots before Election Day, and then they know what's going on. Pennsylvania waits until 7 a.m. or whenever the polls open to start.
Isn't that dumb?
And now, you know, if there was something wrong with a printer or something like that, I mean, at 9 o'clock, did they just call the night and say, hey, we'll see everybody at 8 o'clock in the morning, we'll resume? No, you go through the night and get it finished.
I think it's a good point.
You know, you don't want people leaving the building and coming back. I sure as heck wouldn't, you know?
No, you wouldn't. Yeah. There's a lot of things going on. Now, they use the pandemic, the COVID, as an excuse for a lot of these states to institute mail-in balloting. And a lot of these states just started it up. And let's be honest, Florida's been doing it for a while, and they've kind of got their act together.
Mm.
And we can maybe trust Florida a little bit more. I'm not even a big fan in Florida, and we've been doing it here for years. But anyway, that is the way things are going right now. Finland and Sweden officially are applying for NATO membership. Turkey does not like it. But this is what's happening because of what Putin decided to do in the Ukraine. It's backfired on him. Absolutely backfired on Putin. The NATO secretary told reporters that the treaty organization had formally accepted the applications of both Sweden and Finland. He said, I warmly welcome the request by Finland and Sweden to join. He said, you are our closest partners. Now the applications will be weighed by the 30 members of NATO, and the process is expected to take about 2 weeks, although Turkey has expressed reservations about the joining. Now, I wonder why Turkey is upset. The Turkish leader... Erdogan, has explained his opposition by citing Sweden and other Scandinavian countries' alleged support for Kurdish militants when Turkey was fighting and involved with that terroristic action that was going on. So there you go. All right, let us take our break.
Can't wait to talk to this guy. I have a question for him.
Okay.
Our Mike Howell.
Well, Mike Howell of the Heritage Foundation is about to join. We're going to talk about the $40 billion Ukraine aid package should we be spending, and do we have that kind of money?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, and we thank you so very much for listening to us. We're delighted to have back Mike Howell. He is a senior advisor for government relations at the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about this $40 billion package to help the Ukraine. Now, we've been spending billions of dollars there already, but here's another one from the House, $40 billion Ukraine aid package. And so the question really is, do we even have that money? Well, we know we don't. We're borrowing it, right? And even if we did have that money, is it worth that kind of an investment? Mike, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's always our pleasure, Mike, and this is really something. I mean, we all, not all of us, but I think most all of us are hoping for the best for the Ukrainians and support what they are doing. We know that they got invaded by Russia. We know it's a travesty. We do want to help. But there is a limit, and there's got to be some common sense involved. So so tell me about this $40 billion package. First of all, do we really have that kind of money to send over there to the Ukraine?
No, we absolutely do not. And look, the money is astronomical. It's unfathomable. It is just really stupid financial behavior. And those in the Congress, both in the House and the Senate, who want to pretend that they're against inflation have lost all credibility on the issue when they sign away this type of money. But it's not just the astronomical amount. It's the fact that this wasn't debated. It went through a rush process. This is the same Biden Department of Defense and State Department that massively butchered the Afghanistan withdrawal. And so now we're just trusting them to implement in an efficient way $40 billion to a country with little capacity to take this money in, with a long storied history of corruption, without any kind of meaningful oversight. It's Washington at its worst and it's as usual behavior. And the fact that the Uniparty in the swamp is using this demagogic behavior to say, if you don't support this waste of money, then you stand with Putin against Ukraine, is such a terrible moral immorality of them. Because as you said, everyone in the United States and the nation understands Putin's invasion was wrong. No one is sitting here saying spending money on Russia and helping them out. We're saying, hey, you need to be smart about this. You need to put American interest paramount. You need to get this money to the right place and ensure accountability and effectiveness of the spending, not just the blank check in times of hyperinflation.
I think you're right. I think Americans are really, I think most other times when we were at, let's say there was less going on in this country, could we say that Americans might be more disposed to this, but I don't think so that much right now. They want to help, but we've got these on both sides of the aisle. We've got these congressmen that are going, wow, if I don't support this, you know, they're going to use it against me and saying that I hate the Ukrainians or some stupid thing. Well, I'm not so sure that Americans would think that way right now. And there are some people in Congress that are bucking this, right?
There are. We had about 57 in the House and 11 in the Senate. And I think this vote will age very, very well. I like to call them the inflation caucus, the realistic caucus, because they are the only ones now who I think incredibly oppose the Biden inflationary spending. And then, you know, otherwise, it's just a bipartisan effort at this stage. And so those are the members who I think, you know, people out throughout the country should be looking to as models for this is the type of leadership and thoughtfulness that we need representing us in our Congress. And if your member of Congress wasn't on that list, you should think about getting one that is. And, you know, in terms of, you know, someone else who would vote that way.
Right, exactly. We're talking with Mike Howell, Senior Advisor for Government Relations at the Heritage Foundation, about this bloated, what they call bloated $40 billion Ukraine aid package. And you mentioned, you touched on something, you're so right, we never think much about it. When the money is sent over there, where the hell does it go? I mean, really, how does that work? They're at war. Is there somebody in an office going, yes, okay, we'll take that check for $40 billion. Here, let me put it in our bank. Oh, wait a second. They blew up our bank. Well, I'll put it over here under the mattress. I mean, how does that work?
You know, I don't think anyone really fully knows. And I think it's going to be a lot of shooting by the hip. The administration hasn't bothered to explain it. The United States Congress hasn't bothered to explain it to their own voters. But you're absolutely right. From a purely practical perspective, who is going to be in control of this? The country's, you know, suffered massive physical damage. We're paying Ukraine in this budget money just to pay for their government employees to stick around and deal with this money. This is the area that is, you know, well known as one of the most corrupt areas in the entire world, a long history of that. Many of the politicians that, you know, are being held up now as heroes have a history of, you know, corruption or ties to it. The whole region is problematic in Eastern Europe. If someone's ever dumped $40 billion into Eastern Europe in the history of the world and it's turned out well, I'd like to see that example, because it's never happened, and I don't think that's going to change this go-around.
You're making a good point, Mike. My colleague, Ed Davis, has a question for you.
Well, you know, these questions are great. I mean, they're different accounts that are set up. You know, there's military aid, and so some will come over, you know, military to military. There's humanitarian aid, which then will be laundered through a series of, you know, non-governmental type organizations. But these are quasi-governmental ones that with deep ties and financial overlaps and corruption overlaps to the, you know, actors in the area. But no, there's not going to be like one check handed over in this easy blockchain type accounting. Look at what happened in Iran during the Obama administration, how we moved all that money, billions of dollars. We were talking about pallets of cash, cold hard cash. I don't think that's going to happen here, but look, that's the practical reality. When you move this type of money, there needs to be a capacity to take it in, audit it, and all these things. And the Congress knows this money is going to get wasted. The Biden administration knows that this is a corrupt area and they can't take this in. That is why they oppose Senator Rand Paul's calls for increased oversight of the money, a special inspector general to look at it. Anybody with any sense of this knows a significant amount of that money is going to be lost to fraud, waste, and abuse, and just outright corruption. That's why they don't want oversight. And if I was in, you know, the Congress, I would demand some accountability. If you vote for this, how about you resign if this money gets wasted? You should tell the American people this money will be well spent. And if it's not, and you put your stamp of approval on it, you leave.
Right. Yeah, especially when you're at war, how the accounting of that goes, you know. I do have a question about, rather than sending currency, they were, you know, there was this big talk about sending those MiGs, those Polish MiGs over there and allowing these. Well, now it seems like the Ukrainian war is turning towards the Ukrainians, that the Ukrainians are starting to look like they might be able to win this war. Now, we've invested a lot of money at this point. I wonder if we should invest any more money at all.
That's the baseline question I think a lot of Americans are asking. If we give this money, will they win the war? Not a lot of people go and invest in things they don't think are going to work out. So it's time to level with the American people and say, will this money achieve the ends that you say it will? And again, put some accountability and your own tail on the line if it doesn't happen. That's the only way we can actually get good results, if people actually face consequences if they fail. Obviously, they will not do that. There's a significant amount of the caucus in both the left and the right in the Congress that just wants to take steps that gets us closer to confrontation. They view this as one of those steps, so they'll take anything along the way that moves, you know, towards a heightened confrontation in the region. But back to the corruption angle, I got an even more basic question that no one's answered. Look at the president's family. We do not understand the basics of how President Biden accrued tens of millions of dollars in his family. We know part of it is significant amounts of money that came from this region, the Ukrainians, the Russian oligarchs that are, you know, that is hard evidence out there that used to be called conspiracy theory, now is evidentiary fact. How do we know that there are ties to the own Biden family? These simple questions. It sounds cockamamie to even bring up.
No, I think it's a hell of a question now that I think about it. I mean, there might still be that tie where, you know, a certain little amount is peeled off and makes its way back into the family of the Bidens. I mean, you just don't know anymore, do you?
You don't, and you have no trust. The media covered up. They've censored it on big tech. The Biden administration has lied routinely about this. You have the president's son who's got tens of millions of dollars from affairs in this region, all corrupt, selling access to, you know, Biden himself. And I just want to know, the simple question is, okay, you're dumping $40 billion into a system in a region that has a recent history of giving tons of money to the president's son to influence him. What's going on? Can we take a pause right here? And can you promise the American people and show that this isn't going to personally enrich the Biden family? Or moreover, if the influence that they used on Hunter Biden before, does that have anything to do with where we are now? There is a reason you buy off the president's son. Is this coming to, you know, time to pay the piper, calling in some favors? I'd like to know.
Yeah, good question. We're talking again with Mike Howell of the Heritage Foundation. What about a wag the dog theory, too? Here's Biden, you know, kind of waving this red flag about the Ukraine and, you know, other red flags going on, kind of to divert attention from the disaster that is going on right now with inflation, the border, shelves that don't have product, the cost of gasoline, all of those things that are going on right now that seem to have completely blown up in the Democrats' faces. So, you know, let's focus more on, you know, the Ukrainian war and things like that to take our attention away from these other issues. Do you think that's part of it?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. This is 101. I mean, you have to walk before you run, and you got to, you know, run before you can even learn how to fly or anything like that. We are just the basic. We are being overrun at our southern border. We have the worst month in history, and it's because the administration invited the worst crisis in, and they invited the worst crisis in because they think it's a political benefit to them. They think granting mass amnesty will change the voting patterns in this country to their benefit. When we cannot secure our own sovereignty, safety, and security, we shouldn't be looking at foreign affairs like this. When we have grocery stores that don't even have baby formula in there available to our citizens, we should be taking care of that problem. When inflation is nearing 10%, we should be solving that instead of printing more money. We aren't doing the basic things that a first world country needs to do to stay alive and secure. It is an absolute shame, and this administration, frankly, should be forbidden doing anything but absolutely 101. They should be put into receivership.
Yeah, and when you see a poll that says 78% of the country thinks we're going in the wrong direction, I have never seen a number like that. 78% wrong direction for our country. It just, I mean, I tell you what, I'm not sure that no matter how much they want to go running with other things, the people's focus now is, you know, honed in on how bad things are going. Anyway, Mike Howell, thank you so very much for being with us on this very important topic, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Hey, absolutely. And I'll just leave you with the fact that mail-in ballot elections get you mail-in ballot type president.
Very good. You're right about that, too. Thanks, Mike. All right. Mike Howell, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, hitting back yesterday, asking why, if he's such a bad guy, are people pouring into our state? We'll talk about that with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on your Tantalk Radio Network. SBA, improving your day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, and what's so funny there? Oh, she makes everybody laugh. She'd be great in comedy, wouldn't she? Really? What a fool. I think so, too. I want to indict everybody. Oh, that is ridiculous. It really is. Well, back here in Florida, they're trying to tar and feather Ron DeSantis. He hit back yesterday at people that are comparing him to dictators. He said at a press conference, the people are fleeing to the state of Florida. If he's such a dictator, why are they coming over here? A reporter asked the governor for his reaction to be compared to authoritarian regimes like Fidel Castro or the president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro. And DeSantis said, that's a slap in the face to people that have come to Florida, especially Cubans. Well, we got the proprietor of the barber pole. I know how you feel about it, Andrew, but, you know, how do they dare ask such a stupid question?
Well, Paul, they're stupid people.
I think that's it. Yeah, they come from a stupid person. Yeah, that's true, too.
You know, Paul, it's amazing. They can say, these are all a bunch of morons talking like this. You know they're from the left, the Democrat Party. It's probably Charlie Crist and Nikki Refried Bean. But, you know, if Ron is doing such a bad job as governor, why is it that he's the first governor to make history with $100 million in donations?
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that like him. There's no question about it.
He is now at $125 million. And you know what makes me laugh is Anna Paulina Luna is trying so hard to get with Governor DeSantis that she's trying to throw a fundraiser for him. $1,000 gets you in and $5,000 gets you to meet him. And you know what his father said? She goes, why is she bothering doing that? He don't even need the money. He don't need
Yeah. Well,
he's
no.
not pushing to do anything like that.
He doesn't need the endorsement of another Florida politician at this point. In fact, most of them are underneath him. I mean, everything's going pretty well for him. Do you think he would endorse Anna Paulina Luna? And she's running in the 13th Congressional District.
You know, Paul, I'm hoping like hell he doesn't. because, you know, it's like I told you, this girl is nothing but a fraud. Okay, she used to be a stripper.
Really?
She said, "Oh yeah." She says, "Cocktail waitress." But we got.
Oh wait! Now we got to be careful about that. How do you know she was a stripper?
Paul, read back. Look in her history. It'll tell you she was a cocktail waitress at a men's venue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, her real last name is Wilhelmer or something. It's not even Luna. She picked that name so she thought she was going to get the Latino vote. She comes from California.
Is she not Hispanic?
No, but she might be Hispanic.
She looks and sounds Hispanic to me.
She could be, but she's from a mixed marriage. Her last name is not Luna.
By the way, you got to be careful about saying, even if she is or was a burlesque type of woman, there's nothing wrong with it. It's legal.
Oh, it's a good profession.
Consider some of these. I think many of them are a lot more straight-laced than the lawyers that are running in politics.
It could be true, too. But the fact is, she's not fit for this job.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And yet, we're going to see what happens. I mean, a lot of the Republicans are endorsing her because, Trump said he was going to back her.
Yes. Well,
and I can't see how Trump did that one,
to
be honest with you.
We're talking with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Mainstream America's Most Important Poll, Andrew Ceresi.
So,
what about the endorsement, for instance, of this guy that is right now is going neck and neck with McCormick in Pennsylvania, Dr. Mehmet Oz, who Trump endorsed, Dr. Oz claims that it's because of Trump's endorsement that he even had a chance.
Well, that's true. And like I say, I can't understand why Trump endorsed him. Here you got a man that was made by Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner or later, I believe she's going to want to call in a favor. I mean, to me, this guy is a liberal. I believe he's a Republican.
Is he a Charlie Crist Republican?
No, that's what I might believe. Yeah, I don't trust this guy as far as I could throw him.
Yeah,
I hope McCormick beats him.
I tend to worry about his integrity, too, that way. And I can't say that I know what's deep in his heart. But a lot of these guys do a 180-degree turn on their principles if it will help them get elected.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think like a Democrat, be a Democrat.
Exactly right.
Don't try to infiltrate. Listen. The Republican Party is infiltrated as it is, Paul, with Republicrats.
Yeah.
Look at Lisa McCluskey. She votes Democrat all the time. Okay, Susan Collins. These people are Republicrats, Paul. What are they even? They infiltrated, and we let them in. And this is why I can't believe Trump is endorsing a lot of them.
Yeah, there's I just was thinking while you were talking about Charlie Crist, a real chameleon, and he's going to run against Governor DeSantis for the governorship, and he was is right now the congressman from the 13th district. He used to be called Chain Gang Charlie when I first came to Florida. I used to think the guy was really supposedly conservative.
Yeah, well, I thought the same thing years ago.
Yeah.
But, well, he turned, and a lot of them turned. And a lot of them were what they were. They just said what they said to get where they had to go.
Yeah, but when I saw him do that, I thought to myself, boy, he really fooled me,
Yeah.
And you just can't take any of these people. You got to take every one of them with a grain of salt. Have you been following any of these, besides that one? Any of these other races that are going on right now?
I've been following a few of them. I didn't watch too much last night because, honestly, I thought the hockey game was a lot more important.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that as well a little bit later in the show. And you're right. It was more important. Now, you were talking about Lisa Murkowski,
nope.
Senator from Alaska. And to her credit, she is voted down that bill that was in Congress that would have codified Roe versus Wade. And so did the female Republican senator from Maine. And it was
Collins?
Because, yes, Susan Collins. And they helped, And also, the West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin voted it down. But they would have allowed abortion up to and including the time that it was about to be delivered. So,
well, you know, Paul, that would just be stupid.
Of course it would be stupid. But they would try to get away with it. They tried to get away with it.
Well, they try to get away with everything, and most of the time they let them.
Yeah.
Most of the time they
let them. A lot of times.
I mean, this is something that two women had to vote the way they did.
Yeah, they said this is not it's not even what Roe versus Wade was about. You know, up to the moment of delivery.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know,
partial birth abortion. It's the worst possible thing you could even consider. Go ahead.
You know, Paul, when they have a full baby like that, they can sell those body parts for a lot of money versus an embryo. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
This is just a fact of life with these Democrats think. They're sick people, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really scary.
People. They should dissect Chuck Schumer and Ann Pelosi. Let's dissect them, see if we can get some money for their body parts. But you don't get too much for abused body parts, I don't
think. Ed was enjoying Nancy Pelosi. What was she describing, Ed, that made you laugh? There you go. Can you believe her getting away with something like that? That's right. That's right. We'll allow that. Yeah.
Well, you know, guys. Well, that's because they're trying to force you to buy electric. That's the way to do it. But, you know, I was always taught charity begins at home. You know, you got $40 billion that we don't have. They want to send to Ukraine. For what?
Exactly. We don't know where it's going to go. It's probably going to go into the pockets of people that have nothing to do with trying to fight the damn war to begin with.
That's right. And beside the fact, you know, Paul, this war has gone on long enough. Let the European people worry about it. Let them put up their $40 billion that they don't have.
As long as we're talking about that, what do you think about Finland and Sweden joining NATO?
What do I think about it?
Yeah.
There's got to be a reason behind it, Paul.
Well, yeah, they want to be protected.
They want to be protected. And you know what? When they join NATO, you know who protects them? America.
Of course it does. Okay. We're the big guy on the block. Of course.
Well, we're the mother pig, and we're nursing all these other little pigs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So
we're nursing them all, Paul.
So do you think we ought to get out of NATO, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You do?
No part of it. Yes, we should be our own pyramid.
And what would happen over there with Russia and all of those countries if we got out of NATO?
Well, maybe they'd all be speaking Russian. Who knows?
Well, that's right. So you think that's okay?
Well, I don't care. Let them.
You don't care if Russia takes over Europe?
Well,
really?
Let the European people fight their own wars. You got how many different countries there against one country? They can't take care of it?
Well, just because we're separated by an ocean doesn't mean these days that if Russia took over all of Europe, that it wouldn't be looking across the ocean at some point.
Right.
And that's true,
that's
too.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why we should worry about protecting our own borders.
Okay.
Not worry about anybody else, Paul.
It's certainly a priority.
With the technology that we have in this country, we could protect our own country. We wouldn't have to worry about Russia, China, or anybody else.
Yeah. Well, you're right. We got a lot of things to worry about here. And that's why when we brought on Mike Howell on the show today, you know, we clearly show that sending $40 billion over there. It's just printed. It's printed. Yeah, well, yeah, you give me the check. It's like, you know who's the angry? The only angry, real angry wife is Ron Paul, and I've always respected him because he'll talk about that.
Yeah. You know, guys, it's the American people that should be yelling at him, and they're not. It's like I said, we're complacent. I understand what you're saying, but we're in this country, and all the people should be joining together saying no to our government.
One of the
and
things
we don't. The American people roll over and play dead. I'm sorry. Well, we'll see then, because you know what? I don't hear people complaining at almost $5 a gallon no more.
Now, mm-hmm. She must have a good right cross if she's a sweet old lady like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one person out of how many millions of people you see. I mean, I don't hear nobody complaining.
Well, here's,
you can come in my barber shop and you hear them, you know, because of where we are in the situation.
Right.
Every people on the street, they're not saying, I see they're putting the gas in their car. There's not even any more Biden stickers on it that says, I did that. They don't even do that.
Do you think that they've just acquiesced? They've given up? They've surrendered? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Oh, you mean a Biden sticker or something? Yes. Okay, wow.
Yeah, you got to be sneaky, that's all.
What are they going to do to some... You got it. But let's just take this a step further. If you did put a sticker on a gas pump, that the little Biden sticker that says I did this or whatever it says, okay, and they catch you doing it, what are they going to do to you? So are they going to fine you a certain amount of money or what? Well, it would be a hassle, wouldn't it? I'm laughing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Leave them on there. Let the people see.
The people see. Hey, Andrew, always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend. We need people like you to keep up the fight. Thank you so much for being on.
All right. You guys have a good day.
Talk to you on Friday. Okay. Bye. Bye-bye. There he goes. All right. Let's take our final break here. When we come back, when it comes to violent protest in the United States, which side is really more violent? We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for listening to us. We are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. But thanks to Big Ed, if you can't listen to us, we know you're busy sometimes at 10 a.m., he puts all our shows on podcast, so all you have to do, if you miss a show, or you want to hear the show again, is go to our website and click on the podcast button. There you go. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. He's got a whole bunch of our shows on there, from the most recent all the way back. So go in there and take your pick. You'll see who the guest is and the top 10, the whole bit. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, who is it really that I'd be more afraid of if there was a demonstration? conservatives that were marching, let's say, for pro-lifers or something, or liberals that were marching for, Black Lives Matter or something. I'll tell you what, I would if it was coming down my street and I had to choose one or the other, I'd take the conservatives coming down my street. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly right. That's it. I mean, that's really it. President Biden's administration is bracing for a wave of, now this is a Democrat, right, Biden, bracing for a wave of violence from pro-choicers if the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade. The court's conservative justices are already being targeted in their own neighborhoods, at their homes. Their wives and their kids and their relatives, they're all being targeted at their homes. It should be a crime. Now, even here in Florida, we understand that Ron DeSantis is considering legislation that would outlaw protests in neighborhoods. I haven't heard the detail on that yet, but that will be interesting. But you just said it. You just said it in a nutshell, Ed. They're not the ones to throw the bricks, the conservatives, break the windows and set the fires. So there you go. I mean, it's very, very hypocritical. They mentioned January 6th, and there were some nuts that did break through, and I grant you that. But the vast majority of people that walked in actually peacefully and just wandered around, not to give, you know, not to say that that was wrong. It was wrong. Anyway, before we get to our, go ahead. Go ahead. The governor of Iowa. And what about him? He's the governor-elect of Iowa? Really? Well, I can think of a few bumper stickers, but I don't think I'm going to say them quite. I'm not quite ready to say them on the air. El Crapo. Okay. Let's all be Happo. Let's all be Happo. It's Governor Crapo. That's what I was going to ask you about. It was a great game, wasn't it? 4-1, the Lightning win. I mean, we're playing, and let's set the table here. The Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning are playing each other, and game one was in the Florida Panthers ice rink down in Sunrise, Florida, and they have the best record in hockey, the Florida Panthers. So most of everybody seems to be picking the Panthers. I still thought that the Lightning were a better team, and I think they showed it. Yeah. And it was 1-0 for the Panthers. Of the Lightning. And the Lightning are missing, I think it's Braden Point, who is one of their best players. Yes, it was a great shot. It was a beautiful shot. Well, Well, we are enjoying the game here in Tampa Bay, but it's going to be a tough series. It certainly is not. It's best of seven. All right, time for our top 10. Ed, get over there on the drums. I think this is pretty interesting. These are the top 10 rudest states in America. Comes from MoneyWise and Lifestyle Magazine's Best Life. It released a list of all 50 states ranked from the nicest to the rudest at the time. And the indicators were, it looked at indicators from other surveys like rudest cities and drivers, unfriendliness and impolite behavior with customer service employees. So here we go. Number 10, Idaho. And they get Idaho ranks second worst for rude drivers. They run through stop signs almost 30% more frequently than the national average. Well, they want to get their potatoes to market. Okay. Number 9, California. Rudeness, California has its fair share of rude drivers, that's for sure. And its rudeness metric only rises in big cities like L.A. and San Francisco, perhaps due to their high population. All right, number 8. Rhode Island, the smallest state in the nation. Perhaps they can be forgiven for their haste on the roads unless they hit you with a rude hand gesture or a loud honk. Locals are also considered to be relatively rude towards customer service people. Okay, number 7. Right next door, Massachusetts. Well, I've always thought Boston's kind of rude. Massachusetts is not known for being the friendliest of states or even the most affordable. Boston is considered the worst. All right, number 6. Utah. Now, this one surprised me. I thought Mormons generally are not rude. I really did. By the way, did you know that Utah is the beehive state? Okay. Notorious for its terrible drivers, especially when it comes to tailgating and speeding. I wonder why. Number 5, Alaska. Number 5, Alaska. Residents in the frontier state are just as frigid as the weather. And to make it worse, Alaska is considered one of the most dangerous states in the nation, especially for women. All right. Number 4, Iowa. Iowa, perhaps outwardly, doesn't seem to be that rude, but the Iowanized stereotype does not hold up when residents interact with minorities. Oh, my goodness. All right. Number 3 is Washington. The Seattle freeze is the real thing. 40% of residents in Washington and Oregon say it's not important for them to make new friends. Number 2, Virginia, the Old Dominion state, holds the dubious distinction of having the rudest customers and drivers. Wow. So who do you think is number 1, Ed? Oh, that's a good guess. Roll the drum. New York. New York is number 1. It's no surprise. New York takes the cake for rude behaviors. Locals have a reputation for pushing their way through crowds and very congested. All right. Thanks for being with us. We will be back on Friday. Please remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan. New developments in the prosecution stemming from the George Floyd killing nearly 2 years ago in Minneapolis.
In exchange for Thomas Lane's guilty plea of aiding and abetting manslaughter, state prosecutors